Welcome to Final Final, the podcast for brand storytelling and other conundrums. I'm Heather McPhee. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am so excited today because one of my good friends is actually an incredible, incredible particular kind of designer. And so I wanted to bring her on for an interview to share some of her experiences that she has learned over her career. I love listening to her stories. I'm so glad that she agreed to be on this podcast. Just to share a little bit more about her, her name is Kristen Ray Keenan. She is a color and materials designer, and she works across multiple industries within product design. She's had an incredible career from designing performance basketball footwear at Nike on shoes that you have heard of and you have seen and maybe even bought, to performance vehicles at Ford Motor Company. She also has a background in design and consumer electronics, and she has run her own design studio. So she has just had the most incredible career doing all kinds of cool things. She has a real passion for colors, materials, and finishes. And I just think she is so interesting to talk to, and I'm so glad to have her here today. So Kristen, I kind of want to start off, not everybody knows what you do. They don't understand. Yes. They don't understand what a color and materials designer does. Can you kind of say a little bit more about what it is you do? What is your space?
Yes. So color, material, and finish design is a subset of industrial design, otherwise sometimes known as product design. And basically, the job of a color and materials designer is to make the product irresistible. So we are the ones choosing the color palettes, the material palettes, the finishes down to how glossy it is. What is the texture? Is it a texture you can see or just feel? Or is it a smooth texture? You know, there are so many things that go into it. It's such a fine detail that I think people don't realize that this is a thing that people focus on. It's, in a way, you could think of it as fashion design for products. That's one way that I like to think about it. But the main objective is to use colors and materials and finishes to create a strong emotional connection with the consumer, and also to increase the product performance. So it's not just about looks. If a material can enhance the performance of the product or help it to solve a problem, you know, that's something that I really focus on and I really have a lot of passion for.
Now, how did you get into that? Like, you're so good at, like, what's funny is I've known you for a long time now, so I've seen you in a lot of different spaces and your skills transferred to different major companies that you've worked for. But how did you get into this space? You are literally the only color and material designer I've ever met in my entire life. How did you get into that?
There are not very many of us. So so I went to university for fine art, and I studied product design. And then I also afterward went to the Fashion Institute of Technology, where I studied apparel design. And at FIT, there were some classes breaking down, like, specifically about materials, about the performance of materials, about the different properties of materials, and, you know, in what condition you would want to use different materials to solve issues or, you know, just to help the performance of a garment. That was really interesting to me. And when I was finished at FIT and I was looking for my first job in design, I actually happened to meet someone who was a color and materials designer. It was a complete, like, random meeting. I just happened to notice that they were a designer because of the books that they had. They had a pile of design books, and I'm a very talkative person. I'm very social. So I'm like, oh, you know, I can see that you're clearly a designer. I, you know, and I am as well. I just finished fashion school. And that got us into a conversation where they tried to explain to me, you know, what color and material design was. And this particular person worked in automotive design. And, you know, I'm from the Detroit area. I obviously, you know a ton of people that work in automotive, but growing up as a kid and as a teenager and then as a young college student, I had never heard of this subset of automotive design or industrial design. In automotive, back in the day, it was called color and trim. So you'll hear a lot of people still say that in automotive design, that it was a color and trim design, meaning like the exterior colors for the cars, the leather that was going on to the interior, any fabric, even the seatbelt webbing. You know, lots of different types of materials. And, you know, at the time I'm thinking, well, I want to go, you know, back to New York, and I want to get a job in fashion design. But I was curious, and I emailed them, and you know, they explained to me in greater detail, and it was so interesting to me because I did have a really great love for product design. And what really got me was if I tried to do a career in color materials design, I wouldn't be limited to soft materials like I would in apparel design. You know, I could work with wood, I could work with metal, I can work with plastic, and I can still work with leather, I can still work with textiles. So that was really appealing to me. And they happened to be hiring. And so I applied, and that's how I became a color materials designer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what they all say is I am privy to, I get to hear some of Kristen's awesome stories from her design life. And she spent a period of time at Nike working in the performance footwear section, specifically basketball. Was it specifically basketball? I know, yes. A lot of your stories were basketball athletes.
Specifically basketball, yes.
So some of those shoes you've seen out there and people are like, oh, it's so cool, these look so great. Kristen worked on those in a very real way. So I would love, Kristen, if you could kind of share, you know, something I think is interesting from a brand storytelling perspective is that when you worked with these athletes, they have their own story that they're trying to share. Their Yes. name is on those shoes. And so I would love to just hear from you. I know you were designing for the target customer because, you know, the idea is to sell these shoes, but then it's for an athlete who has their name on it and they really care about those shoes as well, which mm-hmm. is a really unique design challenge. You know, can you kind of share, you know, a little bit more from what you learned there, some of your experiences that you had in working in that space for quite a while?
Absolutely. So yes. So when I went to Nike, I had been working in automotive for a while. I had worked in consumer electronics, and going to Nike was the first time that I had worked in footwear design. And it was very interesting to me and a little unusual that besides having a target customer for the shoes that we were designing, really the signature athlete, you know, so either whether it was LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Kevin Durant, you know, this was our target customer, the athlete themselves. And they had very specific needs from performance perspective. For example, Kobe typically liked a lower cut shoe. He liked the movement and the flexibility. LeBron, you know, his method was lock me down so I can fly. So we wanted to protect him. He liked a lot of protection around his ankles. Because a lot of times these people they're doing dunks, they're coming down really hard onto the court. So you want to make sure that they have really protective materials versus more like kind of flexible things that Kobe liked. So it was very awesome. And then besides the performance objectives that each of these signature athletes clearly had, you know, performance objectives that they really wanted to use. They had stories from, you know, things that inspired them, things that were important to them, things that they went through in their life, or just things that they really loved that they wanted us to incorporate into the shoe. So for example, when we would do a signature shoe, for example, like the LeBron 12 was a shoe that I worked on, really enjoyed working on that one. And we would have the shoes in the game colors. So obviously for the team colors, that they would use, and this is the shoe that they would wear on court while they were playing. But then we would have other colorways that we sold. And each of those colorways, we tried to create, you know, a story of something that was inspiring to them or something that it would help us kind of visually show their brand and what really mattered to them. And that was an amazing experience to be able to work through that.
Yeah, it's so cool. I know you had one, and you know, I don't know if you're able to talk about this. I thought this was an interesting story too. You said that you had one experience working with Kobe, that he had some specific asks that I know you had to work through with the whole team on and bringing that to life. Can you say more about that?
Yes. So when we were working on the Kobe 9, which was a Flyknit shoe, which was a really amazing technology where the whole upper of the shoe was knit together in one piece. So there was no, you know, cutting and sewing, which meant there weren't any seams to kind of like bother the foot. It was a really good fit, really awesome experience. But Kobe had sadly been injured and he had a surgery for his Achilles. And it was a really hard thing for him to go through. And one day, one middle of the night, actually, I was up checking my work email at around 3 a.m.
Oh,
and
no.
as one sometimes does. And I saw this email. One of the footwear designers and marketing had been meeting with Kobe offsite, and they had some feedback from that meeting. And I almost dropped my phone when I read the message, but in the message, it had said that Kobe had asked that he wanted us to simulate his stitches from his recent surgery that had really affected him. And he wanted us to simulate the stitches onto the actual shoe. And I was just, I mean, there were really no words. I thought it was very brave of him to want to do that, because a lot of athletes, I think, would try to not draw attention if an injury had occurred. But this was something that was, you know, a major thing for him to go through and to work through. And he wanted to put his heart on his sleeve, essentially, by putting the stitches, you know, on the heel of the shoe. And not only did he ask us to simulate the stitches by weaving them or embroidering them on, but he wanted them to be in red on every colorway of the shoe. So regardless if it was Lakers colors or another colorway, every Kobe 9 was going to have, you know, the red stitches that match the dimensions and the exact point on his foot where his stitches had occurred. So that was a really unusual request that I think was just monumental for the shoe itself. And I think the fans really connected to that as well. And the consumers that ended up purchasing the Kobe 9 really accepted that.
Well, I think it's interesting too. Clearly that was such a meaningful event for mm-hmm. him, and he wanted to share it. Like, he knew anyone who bought that shoe, that was something that he shared with his fans, you know, and in a way mm-hmm. to connect to them. That mm-hmm. sounds like a really meaningful, I can see how that was a really meaningful project to have worked on.
Yeah.
So in another space, so Kristen has worked in a few different formats, and it's really cool. So in addition to shoes, she has also worked on some of the coolest cars you've seen at Ford. And she has had a major career at Ford working in automotive. In that space, is it called Color and Trim, or is it still Color and Materials?
Every OEM, meaning like original equipment manufacturer, is like a term in automotive. So whether it's Ford or, you know, General Motors or Kia or whoever, they may call it something differently, but at Ford, it's color and materials design. It used to be color and trim, you know, in the 50s and the 60s. And some people still refer to it as that, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been amazing to work in automotive design.
Yeah. I mean, I can say right now, I've seen some of Kristen's, you know, once it's out there in public and everyone can enjoy it and see it, I've seen it, and it's really incredible. And there have been times like, I cannot believe I have a friend who does all these things. It's really amazing to me. But once you were moved over to Ford, you know, is there anything you can share, you know, from some of your experiences working in the auto industry that is kind of, that have kind of stuck with you?
Yes. So I was lucky enough to work on the Shelby GT500 Mustangs, the 2007 model year through to 2010. In 2010, it was like a major redesign. And we actually were able to work with Carroll Shelby himself, who was the namesake of the Shelby GT500 Mustang. And that car was my baby. I mean, I just absolutely loved working on that vehicle. It was an amazing team at Ford to work with. A lot of passion for the product, a lot of passion for the Shelby brand. And it was just an absolute dream come true to work with them. Another thing that I really enjoyed working on was the very first Raptor vehicle at Ford. And that was a Raptor, an F-150 Raptor. And I was very lucky to be able to work on that project as well. That was an interesting one because you can see, like, I think sometimes when people are thinking about color and how it's applied to vehicles, you know, you're thinking of the exterior paint, which is huge, of course, maybe some racing stripes, also a very big component of design. But on the Raptor, we got to use it in really interesting ways for functionality. And I think that sometimes people don't realize how much color design can help with functionality. So one of the things that I did in the process of design for that vehicle I added a strip of really bright orange leather right at the 12 o'clock mark of the steering wheel. And that was basically the Raptor was an off-road truck and an off-road vehicle. And so if you were out off-roading, things are getting crazy. You can't see, you don't know which way is up. You know, you can very quickly and easily clearly see, you know, how to get your steering wheel back to where it needs to be, to kind of reset to home base. So that was a really fun way to use color to help the performance and the functionality of the vehicle.
Oh, cool.
In the Shelby as well, I used like a really grippy material on the seats because that vehicle, I think the horsepower was at least 500 horsepower. And if you're going that fast, you know, you kind of need something to keep you in your seat.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Now, something I think is so cool about what you do is a lot of your work, I don't know if flashy is the right word, but you look at it and you notice and you're like, wow, that stands out. That's incredible. It's like those A+ top tier, from a design perspective, they stand out. A lot of your projects, like I'm just going to say right now, everyone listening, you have seen Kristen's work. Like I can't imagine there's a person alive that hasn't seen Kristen's work, whether it's through Nike or Ford and other projects that I know you've worked on. Mm-hmm. But something I think is interesting about what you do is it really does intersect, you know, really attractive, engaging design with meaning. You tell a story with what you do. And then also, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, it gets used. You're not designing things that sit on a shelf. Everything that you work with gets used. And sometimes with major, it's a car, or a mm-hmm. shoe, or like all of these things. And I would love to hear from you. Like, what is your thought process or what is your creative process when you approach a project? What are some of the things you think about as you're starting to bring all of those things together?
Yep. So I have like two components to it. So one is how is the product supposed to make you feel? Or, how is it supposed to make the user feel? That's a really important kickoff point for me, both from a performance standpoint and from a visual aesthetic standpoint. So, is it meant to be subtle? Is it meant to be calming? Is it meant to be fierce? What exactly is the end goal? And then finding a way to represent that through a color palette and through, how a material feels, how it performs, how grippy it is, all of those things. How can it solve any problems? That's kind of where I start and go from there. And it's fun because I love the visual aspect. I love it. And I also love the performance. So I it's wonderful to see them like kind of come together during the process in order to make a really great product.
I have one before we move on to the next question. I do have a quick one, and I actually don't know the answer to this, even though I've known you for so long. Are you a safe driver or are you like a speed demon? Like just knowing the stuff you work on, like I would think you're one of those like risk taker balls to the wall type people, but is that true or are you safe?
I have a little bit of a lead foot.
I knew it. I felt that in there.
I do. Yep. I've got a little bit of a lead foot, and hopefully when, I'm a few weeks out from a brand new Mustang and a very, very bright color. So I'm going to have to work on that, I think, because I'm going to be very visible in that Mustang and I'm going to have to keep it together.
Yes, I've seen the pictures. I've seen those racing stripes. So you're going to be set mm-hmm. up. Now, something else that's interesting about you. So for a period of time, you opened and then closed your own design studio for a while, mm-hmm. for a period of time. Now, what was that experience like? That's totally different from all of this other work you've been doing.
It was so different. It was wonderful. So like many, many people our age have found in design, there comes a time when maybe you want to have a few years with a more flexible schedule if you have kids, if you become a parent. And for me, that was something that I wanted after some really intense work schedules at Nike, and 2 week long trips to Asia to visit our development factories and to visit suppliers and everything. And it's hard to do once you become a parent. So yes, I decided to open my own studio so that I could have that flexibility. And it was a really, really great experience. I got to work in some industries that I had never worked in before.
Now, what did running your own design studio teach you? Like, is there anything you walked away from that? And I know that was like a very, I mean, I thought it was so cool you took that risk, and went out on your own in that way. What did you take away from that experience?
That the world is not as small as you think when you are doing things your own way and you're able to connect with people in a way that a corporation might not let you. I was able to work with some really great designers from Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and the importance of being able to connect with somebody that you may not even know really well. I met them at Milan Design Week. So in product design and industrial design, everybody knows about Fashion Week, right? You've got Fashion Week in Milan, you've got it in New York, you've got it in Paris. But I don't think a lot of people know about Milan Design Week. So in the industrial design world, Milan Design Week, which always happens in April every year in Italy, is the major, it's not, New York was doing one for a while, but Milan is really the place to be. If you're a product designer, that is the end all be all show to go to. And not just the convention. I mean, it's the entire city has amazing design exhibits literally everywhere. And if you're in product design and you want inspiration, that is a one-stop shop, absolute must see. And so I had been there before, in my career. And once I started my studio, of course, that was my number one thing I wanted to do, to be able to stay on top of the trends and to see what was happening in the industry. And so I went there and I connected with my coworker Bhavna. We connected with two designers from the Netherlands, and we just absolutely hit it off. We didn't know each other at all. And within a month or so, we were already collaborating on our own exhibit for Milan Design Week the following year. So these two designers, Noopster and Freiwerk, they were exhibiting at Milan Design Week. So that's how we met them. And so they asked us to work with them to create, something amazing for the following year. And that was a huge, risk for us to take. People we don't even know, we don't live anywhere near each other. Because working on something like that, you have to collaborate so closely and really trust each other. And we created an amazing installation that has definitely, for me, feels like the pinnacle of my career. Absolutely. So
Very
I'm
cool.
glad that to have the courage to talk to people and to be open with people and open for connection. That was the biggest takeaway for me from that studio for sure.
Now, as we kind of wrap up here, and you look over your career and you've had all these amazing experiences and all these great lessons, what kind of advice would you want to give to other creative folks out there that are in our field? What's something that you would like to share with them to maybe think about?
So for me, I feel like the fight to get things into production or to make them, real tangible things, from the concept actually to bringing them into the world, to me, that method and pain, it's literally blood, sweat, and tears. But that fight is so worth it. And I think there are some designers that maybe don't have the passion for that part of it. Everyone has passions for concepts. Everyone wants to work on design concepts and to do all of the really out there thinking, which is so important and wonderful to do. But if you can't get passionate about fighting to create it and to make it a real tangible thing, it may not see the light of day, especially in product design. So at times it can seem like you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel if you're like kind of slogging through manufacturing issues with engineering. God, supply chain these days is something that is hard for product designers just as much as everybody else post-COVID. You really have to have a passion for that as well, as much as you do to have the creative concepts. And if you have passion for that, then you will always get your work into production and you'll see it out there.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing your career with us and some of the things that you've learned over your experiences the last, I guess, 20 years or so. Yeah. You've been doing this for a minute. Thank you for
Yeah.
being here today. I think your career is just fascinating, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about it. For anyone out there, if you really enjoyed this episode and you want to make sure other people hear it, share it with your network. You know, rate us, review us. I just think Kristen's really great, and I'm glad that she was here to kind of talk to us about, you know, what she's learned in a lifetime of lessons in product design. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Everyone else, I hope you have a great week, and we will see you next Monday.